according to my watch. And so looks like, first of all, we do have a quorum, which is good. It's, welcome, everybody, to the first official 2014 Clark County Parks Advisory Board meeting. So it's a pleasure to have you finally here in front of us today. And I know the vetting process has taken a while, but finally, as of August of this year, we are finally holding our first meeting. So thank you for attending today. Appreciate it. First things first, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Bill Bjerke. I'm the Parks Manager for Clark County Parks. And I've been in this role since the beginning of this year. And prior to that, I was the Operations Superintendent for Parks Maintenance for the last 8 years. And then I've been here for a total of 28 years in entirety. But I've had a wonderful career here. It's been fantastic working in parks all these years. And all the things that we've done over the years, I've seen so many changes. It's been incredible. But I think back to each and every park that we have in our system and how much labor of love it took to actually identify, plan for the park, to build the park, and then finally to maintain the park. And so the purpose of our Parks Advisory Board is to look into the future and see what we want to do, collectively going forward to expand the system that we've got right now, to improve it, to make it better, to improve our recreation, to improve our conservation. And so this is our purpose. This board, it's going to be a little bit different than it has been in the past with Vancouver Clark Parks, a little bit less formalized. Of course, we're not down in the commissioner's training room right now. We're here. The original location that we were going to hold our meetings was over at Luke Jensen Sports Complex. We have a great, wonderful community room. It's the Bud Van Cleef community room. But we thought it might be too hot today, so we decided to relocate it here. So with that, I would like to actually introduce ourselves. If we could just go around the room real quickly. And would you like to start with us?
I'm Marcia Keene.
I'm Gail Spoller with Evergreen Public Schools.
Adam Abuka.
Barbara Anderson.
Gerald Spencer.
Jennifer Halleck with Vancouver Public Schools.
Leanne Mattis with Clark County Parks.
Okay, and in our audience here, we have some staff as well, so please go ahead.
I'm Karen Wellen. I'm the volunteer coordinator for Clark County Public Works.
Eric Christensen. I'm the Parks Operations.
Keith Henderson, the Public Works Director.
Jeremy Knuth, the Parks Resource Management Coordinator.
I'm Jeff Mize. I handle public information and outreach for Clark County Public Works.
That's okay.
I'm Linda McGuire. I belong to East Nantahala Neighborhood Association.
Oh, well, welcome. And with us here today, we've invited Jeff Knighton. He's with Clark County Community Planning. He's going to be helping us with a comprehensive parks and recreation open space plan this year. So, and in addition, we do have another guest showing up, and that's Stephen Dew, and he's with Conservation Techniques, and he's going to be teaching us about PIF. In front of us, we created some notebooks that will help kind of get us off to a good start. And it's just a little bit about parks. Also, some of the roles that this Parks Advisory Board are responsible for, and some of the things that we actually have to do today, like elect officers. So, first and foremost, we do have a quorum here. I believe we've got four voting members. Mr. Jeremy?
Yeah, I just got a message from Steve. I guess he's coming from Portland and there's an accident, so he may not be here in time to cover the Park
Impact. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
205 was stopped.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be the reason why a lot of folks aren't showing up here today. So yeah, it might be a traffic issue. Okay.
Kelly's just be late.
Okay. Well, I can ramble on a little bit.
From some far off corner.
We can waste a little bit of time, I can ramble on a little bit. But since the beginning of this year, of course, we've had a pretty significant change when it comes to the way we were structured. Obviously, we were merged together with Vancouver Clark Parks, and that divorce was final as of January 1 of 2014. And so we were tasked with basically rebuilding the park structure under the Clark County umbrella, and putting that together and trying to build it up from the ground level and creating a solid foundation for, you know, for our future. And with that, you know, a lot of the big tasks we had, of course, we lost all the staffing that we had that did all the administrative work. So we went on a hiring spree, and we actually brought two folks over from Vancouver Clark Parks, and that's Jeremy Knuth and Eric Christensen. And I'm just so pleased to have those guys come over because they brought their experience with them. And, of course, they're just sharp guys and just such an asset to us. And then we also hired Leanne Mattis here. She's our OA3. And so between Jeremy and Eric and Leanne and I, we actually make up the body of the Parks Administration Group. But Karen Llewellyn is our volunteer coordinator. She's in with us. And also Doug Keller, he took my place as the operations supervisor, maintenance supervisor, and he sits in our office too, so there's five of us. And then we also have a couple of temp staff helping Eric with reservations. And we can talk about that a little bit too, where that's at and what we've done this year with it.
Excuse me, Bill. Is there the staff that you just laid out, is that in
yes.
here?
Yes, it is. It's
I'm
in
digging
there.
Through real fast.
It kind of tells about all the
know.
Duties. So I'll tell
I
you what.
There might be a chart.
What we can do, and I've got some of these things up on the screen so we can all see it.
Under the third tab, third page in, talks about the administration staff.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That way I don't have to make a look. If it wasn't there, I would make notes.
Okay.
Excuse me, Bill.
Yes.
Say one thing real quick, just to make sure everyone understands, we are recording this meeting.
Yes. This, I'm sorry. Yeah. This meeting is being recorded, and hence the speakers around the table. And we have kind of had to set up this round table effect, and I know that the current members are pretty familiar with that. That's how it has been in the past. But we do have to record these meetings, and so but don't let that hinder you from speaking out, please. So just a little history on parks as far as our asset inventory. Clark County Park Public Works Grounds Maintenance staff is responsible for 49 metropolitan parks, district, neighborhood, community, and regional parks with a total of 961 acres. We have 11 urban green spaces totaling 47 acres within the MPD area. You know what? I don't know if I've got that up there. I'd kind of like it if all the folks here in the audience can see as well. I can probably bring it up real quickly. I don't know if I should go into this kind of detail. I think I'm just going to kind of go over this because I don't think I've got that slide prepared and I don't want to bore
Are we in chapter 3, page 1?
Really? Yes, you're under general information.
Okay.
Chapter 3. So I'm going to kind of go down to the cut to the chase here. The total acres that we actively maintain, it's kind of like developed acres, is 4,886 acres. And that amounts to about 139.6 acres per FTE on our staff. And with all inclusively, with volunteers and corrections crews and seasonal staff, it averages about 38.77 acres per person to maintain. So we have a lot of acres out there, and we've got a fantastic maintenance staff as well as our volunteer base. They do a fantastic job. They have a lot of care for the parks, and we really appreciate everything they do out there, and that's why they look so good. So I'm really, really pleased with our folks out there and the work that they're doing. If you don't mind, I wouldn't mind coming back to this. I might load that up onto the screen. I'd kind of like to go back to something that we actually can pull up, first of all. And, let's take a look.
This
see that
this
part? Yes.
You're logged in, as you say.
I have it loaded up. Okay. Sorry about that, folks. We just got to set up about 15 minutes before everyone showed up. But the one thing I would like to do first and foremost, all this information is in your packets, so you can kind of get the history of the parks and all the park names and locations are in here, as well as our staff. What our administration staff does specifically, we have maps of our parks in here. And so what I'd kind of like to do, we do now have a quorum, and here comes Steve too. And this, I don't know if we have to necessarily accomplish this today, but we do need to elect officers for this new Parks Advisory Board.
I think we need to have some idea of qualifications for this board or experience or something
mm-hmm.
before. I mean, there are a lot of people here I don't know. Okay. So I'm sure a lot of them don't know me, so I would like to know a little more about them before you go into it. Like, you know, chairman.
What is the proper protocol for doing this? We share information back and forth between the board members, and
I think in your discussion.
Or should we just just a brief
John
discussion?
Give me your, what do you do for
yeah,
living?
Let's go around. I think that's a good idea. So John Spencer and his background. I've worked in public administration for the last 15 years. I started as a finance grunt in the City of University Place, ended up working in the city manager's office for Vancouver for several years. Went into consulting, came out of consulting, was city administrator for the City of North Bonneville for a few years, and have gone back to consulting to local government. I have a Master of Public Administration and am very much a numbers-oriented person. I will, at some point in the near future, be asking for actual spreadsheets rather than paper, because I just can't work off of paper. I need to look at the the formulae. Why am I here? General interest in the park system and trying to keep abreast of what's going on and do what good I can.
Thank you.
I'm not a member. I'm just a
They said consultant. Here comes Steve. So
this
I
is
thought.
This is, yeah, this is Stephen Dew with Conservation Techniques. He's going to give us a presentation.
Oh, our speaker
on
that
today.
You said was
yes.
Okay. I'm Barbara Anderson. Spent my 30 years with the phone company. I was an area manager, covered 7 states, and got tired of laying people off, so took early retirement, and have been retired since a while now. Enough to have enjoyed it and gotten used to it. And thought that I would get a little involved, so I got involved with my neighborhood association, was president of the North Salmon Creek neighborhood for 6 years. And we became a 501c3 because of my passion for parks. And that was because we were told we were supposed to have a neighborhood park when I had my house built, and it never came to fruition. So being the quiet, reserved person, I started rabble-rousing the neighbors about it. And I'm happy to say it's being built now, finally. But I'm no longer that, because there's a conflict of interest to sit here and there. And I thought I could do a better job being on Parks Advisory, because I started, obviously, with a lack of a park, getting more engaged with going to all the parks around with my grandchildren, who I care for, and started seeing that there were things from the Mother's Club, because I'm the only grandma in the Mother's Club here in Vancouver. So they would start asking me questions, thinking because of my age I would know the answers. So I started having to know the answers, which came to all the public information requests I sent. So my reason for being here is really just a passion, because being on my HOA board, being on the neighborhood board, a lot of concerns were funneled to me about children playing in the streets. And I would always take the wrong attitude and say, they have to play somewhere. We really need to give them a safe place to play. So that's my little tirade, and why I'm here is trying to get those safe places for our children.
Thank you.
My name is Adam Babuka. For about 9 years, I worked with a nonprofit organization and in about 30 countries. Done a lot of disaster relief, running chainsaw crews to medical supply distribution, blanket distribution, running teams in and out of Sudan, Afghanistan, China, Asia, quite a few places, mostly third world countries. And it was just a lot of traveling, and so I went back to school. So I just graduated from Washington State University, Vancouver, in May, and so my heart is to get involved in community because I've helped so many communities overseas, and so I really want to be a part of what's going on here in the city that I live in. So
we knew you'd be like,
thank you, Adam.
We roll call Jen.
We knew you were coming.
Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
I apologize for being late. Traffic on I-5 was plugged. I left with Milwaukee 2 hours ago and just getting here.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, you got caught in traffic.
Right.
I'm just going around the table right now. And
okay.
The board members are telling about themselves, so you want to take a shot at it?
Okay.
Good guy.
Well, I've been involved in parks my entire life, I guess, from as far back as I could remember. I was either working in a park or playing in a park, from Wyoming to Vancouver to now Clark County. And as I'm just building another park over in the waterfront at Milwaukee, I've just been in parks, whether it's building them or managing them or whatever, for 45 years, I guess. Anyway, I'm thrilled to be able to be at the table with the rest of you and see where we go with this thing. I do feel like a little bit, how do I say this politely? I feel like we've gone a little bit backwards for a while. I hope we can move forward now and get on with things and see us as a region come together as a greater park system than we had before. I guess that's all I can say.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, but I'm an ex officio.
That's right. That's okay. Thank you for coming. Appreciate
it. I'm Marcia King. Let's see, where do I start? I did this so quickly because we were on the road and traveling. Lived in Irvine, California when they were in the process of incorporating. Served on their planning commission, their parks and recreation commission, and transportation commission during the time that we lived there. Worked in administration all my life, mostly for attorneys. My husband's retired Navy, so of course we did a bit of traveling too. Got involved in parks here. We lived in Battleground for a while, and so there I was on the Planning Commission, and then I also was on Parks and Rec up there for a period of time. I worked with Eric during that time. He wasn't the city manager at the time. He was one of the guys that was in the back row, I think. But have always had an interest in civic affairs and activities. Worked on the board that was the combined board. I know what Kelly said, talking about, when he talks about it, feels like we've gone backwards because he was very instrumental in putting it all together. I'm hoping this board can do more of a county, have a county vision. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I think we have to step back and take a look at the whole picture. And I don't know that we've really done that to where we can be sure that everyone is getting something, but it's not all just because, you know, this wheel squeaked, so they got a park, this wheel squeaked, so they got a park. That's got to stop. We have to take a look at the entire county. We have to look at the entire in the entire picture. And I'm hoping we can do that because I caution the commissioners during the interview, you know, several of them well, that we have to be very careful of having any kind of special interest. I feel very strongly that if you have a reason for being here that's just driving you towards that direction, and you're not really going to help this board, because this board needs to be able to have a broader perspective, and that's where I would like to be. So
okay, well,
I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. And Kelly, just so you know, one of our first roles here is to try to elect officers.
Oh.
First order of business. And one thing I'd like to do real quickly, so that we're all clear as to the responsibilities of the board members, I'd like to just read down through here. The role of Park Advisory Board members is to act in an advisory manner to Clark County Park staff and Clark County Board of County Commissioners, and to advocate with decision makers and the public for parks and recreation issues. Members should be passionate, articulate, and committed to parks and recreation. Members should be able to commit to attending monthly meetings and other meetings and events as needed and as possible. Members should be willing to become appropriately knowledgeable and conversant about big picture parks and recreation issues and ideas. Members should be willing to attend and testify at public meetings, hearings, and other speaking engagements as necessary. Members should have an ability, willingness, and desire to lobby legislators and other decision makers and provide leadership at local and state levels for park recreation issues. Members should be accessible to the representative of neighborhood associations and the general public. They should offer parks and recreation related information to people and groups and bring public requests and points of view to the larger commission and the parks division for information and consideration. So here's the role of the chair or co-chairs, which I'd like to propose. Co-chairs should establish ground rules for meetings and ensure they are followed. Keep meetings focused and on topic. Be familiar with and promote Clark County policies. Take responsibility for eliciting feedback from all members. Ensure that exchanges between board members and staff are respectfully and appropriate. Be sensitive to issues other board members want brought forward and ensure those issues are given discussion time. So essentially, this meeting is yours to conduct. And so we want to be sure that if you accept the role of board or of chair or co-chairs, which I'd like to see two chairs, so if one is missing, the other one can conduct business. And of course, the role of the secretary. Secretary should have charge of all records and shall keep accurate and complete minutes of all meetings. So that's their primary role, is to record.
Will that be the responsibility of someone on the board, or will that be a staff position?
Well, it can be, like, we're talking about that. It might be a combination of both. The one thing that we are doing here is recording these meetings. So we can get these meetings transcribed if needed. But I don't think we need to have somebody that's sitting there taking every word of what everybody says. So the purpose of the recording should hopefully alleviate that. I think the one thing that would be nice to do is if there's some information that is really worth relaying out to the public, that should be noted. And then Leanne can also help with that. So maybe the secretary can work with Leanne and in combination. And so that being said, I know that being a chair or co-chair is a big responsibility, and then the elections for these positions comes up every December. So in this case, it's probably up to you to make that decision. But if you would like to be a chair or co-chair, we can actually decide on whether you want to just hold that position until this December, until such time that election reoccurs, or if you want to go all the way until 2015. With that, I think you've got a pretty good idea of the bios on everybody. Is anybody really interested in being the chair or co-chair? Show an avid interest.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Second. All right.
Kelly was the chairman of the joint committee.
And if Kelly takes it, I'd be happy to back him up.
If it was a co-chair situation, I might.
Yeah. You'd be happy to back?
I'd be happy to back you.
You'd be a co-chair?
Yeah.
You'd be good
with
that? Great.
We're a good team.
That's good.
They are. They're the flying eagle and the... What are you two? You two got awards this year. Come on. What is it, Barbara? What is the award?
He's the Wonder Man.
The Florence and the flying eagle or something. And then.
Yes,
what
we were
are
honored.
You? You have titles.
I forget.
Oh, you shy.
Okay. Well, I like the idea that it's a short term, so we'll bring you all up to speed with everything and quickly.
All right.
And
the arm isn't being twisted.
New leadership. It is, but what are we going to do?
You do it so well.
You stepped in nicely.
Only because you're there.
Are you folks familiar with the Roberts Rules of Order on how to conduct a meeting officially? And it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, yes, you are. And so, make a motion.
They never really got out of control, I don't think, that I remember. So, didn't ever become terribly necessary.
It's not. It should be conducted to a degree of Robert's Rules and Order, how that's followed. So you make a motion, you second, and mm-hmm. call for question, and pass. And so, there is some information in here. So, basically... What I'm hearing is that Kelly would like to be the chair, Barbara would like to be the co-chair, And
so moved.
So moved. Okay. So congratulations.
Oh, no vote?
Well, if you want to vote, you sure can.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just holding you on. That was Robert Rule.
Okay. Well, if you want to like, vote, that'd be great. And after that, I'm going to let you guys take over as far as conducting the business.
And so looking here, I didn't see an agenda. Is there one?
Oh, it's under tab two.
Tab
first
two.
Thing.
I'm sorry. This is great.
There you go. See, that's Kelly, so we keep you on your toes.
Who are the non-voting members on the introductions? Did we do those?
We did.
Mm-hmm. We didn't, really.
Oh,
we can.
I'm just wondering.
Probably a good idea.
Kelly just needs to make a motion or something.
Make a motion that we do hear from the non-voting members since we know you all very well, but not everybody does. So. And a good place to start would be with you.
All right. I'm Jennifer Halleck. I'm with Vancouver Public Schools. In my role in the school system for Vancouver, I primarily do planning, long-range planning, capacities of our schools, bond planning, etc. In addition to that, I'm the district's resource conservation manager. By the way, this year we won the 2014 U.S. Department of Education Sustainability Award. So, national award.
For you.
It was pretty exciting. Our district is really doing all the work. So, in addition to that, I also oversee the community services and our two community pools for the district. So, we rent our fields. We're like a mini park system, if you will, with our own campuses. So, this fits well with understanding partnerships and how we can work together and how we might be good partners in the community as we think about spaces and places for kids and families.
That sounds great. Thank you.
And if you all would like a pool, we have a couple. They are in the city limits. I'm more coming out.
Well, the city's
in the
county.
Didn't want to make
county. That's okay. Everybody forgets. The city is in the county.
Yes.
Well, I've worked with Jennifer for a long time, and she's great to work with.
Thank you.
We are very positive, and I appreciate all you've done over the years. So I'm glad to see you at the table.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay.
So I'm Gail Spoehler. I'm the Director of Communications for Evergreen Public Schools. And within my responsibilities, communications, video production, as well as our community education programs as well. So we do a lot of work out in the communities offering classes, also rent our facilities and fields as well. I've been in the district since last November, but I was with ESD 112, the regional service education service provider, for 10 years, and before that 12 years at CTRAN. So I've been at all sorts of different hearings and since all sorts of different community initiatives and proposals going through, and also lived in the community since 1985, and so I've watched the parks grow, and I think our neighborhood association in the city of Vancouver was the first REIT park that was dedicated, Bella Vista.
Yeah. Just maintained that park years ago.
How long have you been with Evergreen School District?
Just since November.
That's what I was thinking. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, welcome. I know I've worked with you on other projects,
yep.
But this is good.
Thank you.
And, of course, Sherry Martin, I don't see her face around.
No,
unless she's behind me, somewhere back there.
That's
but
right.
Sherry will be a great addition to the program. And, of course, the
absolutely.
Partnership between any park system and its foundation is very critical and important. So, and Sherry has proven to be a really good partner for the park systems in the past, and hopefully we'll continue to see that as a very strong arm of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see your name on here.
She's been a real friend of parks all
yeah.
these years.
And
great
really
asset to us. Okay, so we still have to elect the secretary. Are there any folks that might be interested in that?
Well, I'm thinking Marcia forced
nope.
Kelly into it.
I kind of like the way you think.
Yeah, I think secretary is something someone has got to want to own, though.
Yeah, I do.
Because that is a difficult job.
I don't. I can't do it. For one thing, we travel a lot. We travel the entire summer. I came back just today to attend this meeting. I'm leaving again. I'm facing some surgery on the 19th of the month. I just can't do it. It's not possible. I'm getting a back surgery. You had last year.
Oh.
So it's going to take a bit of time. So you can do it.
Well, actually, I was going to say, unless Adam wants it.
Oh, yes.
Candace isn't here.
Well, that just leaves you, John.
Candace sounds good.
No, I'm thinking Candace. Whoever she is. Oh, yes, we can.
So they have to accept the position.
Well, if we get decided today, at least we can do a nomination.
Yeah, I should come back around on that one, I think.
Okay. I don't think Greg would want to do it, though, either. Knowing Greg.
Is that something we might be able to skim by?
But how about Adam here? Are you willing to think about it?
Specifically?
Specifically.
Beyond the recordings that are there.
Yeah, if we were like only on recordings, you'd have to sit there and listen through it all. And we might have to have some notes there that kind of, capture the heart of the meeting, particularly the important points that need to be relayed out to public. And so,
summarized.
Yeah.
And the RCW also requires.
Can I propose that there be a template created by the county that has basic topics of discussion, and they provide the laptop, and then it becomes a much easier role. So whoever is here can pop in notes. We can maybe use the visual to see what's being typed in, correct whatever. That way it happens at the table and it gets complete at the table. And I think that might be some of the hesitancy from others is taking that information and then going away and then, deciphering it, sending it out, all the back and forths, and
we can come up with a boilerplate format.
Let me just ask this, because I know that historically when we go out and we look at our minutes, they're kind of verbose, to be honest, which is nice in a way. But when you get down through Robert's rules, really the only thing required in the minutes is the date and time, the attendees, and then the motions and the time of adjournment. And most people think minutes mean all of this verbosity.
I heard John is very good at spreadsheets, so if they developed a spreadsheet that had some of that,
actually,
all you have to do is input that into the notes section of the spreadsheet they create while you're here.
I've got one from our HOA that really just is just those key things in word format.
You were sounding so good there at the beginning.
So, with that in mind, is there someone who would revise if they knew they only needed to record that portion?
I nominate John.
Why don't we wait till the next meeting? We'll survive one without it.
Okay.
Maybe the county can come up with a template of some kind and make it a little bit easier, simpler.
We can do that.
Maybe we could even say whoever accidentally sits to the right of Kelly for the information, because you're closest to the chair.
I would be far away from you all the time.
No, you won't. I'm going to count on you in my right hand.
Something to make it simple.
I just can't write.
Well, Barbara and Kelly, thank you so much for taking the chair and co-chair positions. I appreciate that. We wanted to make sure that we at least came out of here with that today, so we have somebody to run this meeting. So thank you. And so we'll resume on this next meeting with the secretary. Moving on, of course, we have Stephen Dew here with Conservation Metrics, and he's going to give us a little introduction to how FIP works and what it does and what it means to us as far as the benefit.
Do you want me to dive into that now, or do you want to do an overview of parks and maintenance first?
Oh, parks and maintenance?
I can go either way.
Why don't you go ahead and do that, and we'll jump into parks and maintenance.
All right.
Anybody else want water?
No, but thank you very much.
So, again, like Kelly, I was stuck in I-5 traffic, so I apologize for being a little tardy. Again, my name's Steve Dew with Conservation Techniques, and I'm really helping out Bill and Jeff on the park system plan update that Jeff will be talking to shortly, and we'll be helping kind of in the role of technical assistance. But Bill wanted me to give you a real quick highlight of one of the county's key funding sources, and that's park impact fees. So in your binder, tab 5, there's a thing called PIP, and that's short for park impact fees. So there's a real simple little 101 sort of summary of what park impact fees are and a little bit of history about them. But just to introduce it briefly, park impact fees are a capital funding source for parks, and capital being that you can use impact fees to purchase land and develop parks. It's not operating, so you can't maintain or renovate facilities with impact fees. It's really just buying and building new parks as population grows. The county has a long history with impact fees dating back to 1990. They implemented it. Currently, there's 10 discrete park districts or park impact fee districts throughout the Vancouver and Clark County urban area. And one thing to note is that with impact fees, the state law requires that there's a relationship between where park impact fees are generated and where they're spent. So that is the nexus or the connection between the mapping that shows where those impact fee boundaries are and how they get accounted for. So park impact fees are really a fee on development. So a developer pays the fee when they get building permits on residential development. So for each residential unit that gets built or planned, that developer has to pay a certain amount in impact fees to the county. And depending on where the development's occurring, it falls within one of these 10 districts. So the monies then fall into an account within those districts so they can be tracked as to where they were collected, so then staff know where they can spend the money. One thing to note is this 10 district system is a legacy system from the joint city-county program, and going forward I imagine this board is going to have some discussion about how that looks going forward in terms of the districts and the number of districts, but for now I just wanted to introduce the topic as, again, a key funding source for park acquisition and park development. And leave it at that. Bill, did you want me to hit on anything else, or is that good?
If you
want
to keep going, you can talk about REIT if you like.
Well,
or I can do it.
Okay, so impact fee is one of two key capital sources. The other key capital source for park development is REIT, or real estate excise tax. So REIT is a charge that is paid by the seller of real property anytime a sale happens. So it's based on a percentage of the sale amount, and a portion of the total amount charged comes into the park system for park development and park renovations. So REIT, like PIF, has some specific rules to it in terms of how you can use it and what it can be used for. And like impact fees, REIT cannot be used on maintenance. So again, it's a capital facility improvement. But it can be used to renovate older properties and do improvements that are above and beyond just doing new stuff. So with the impact fees, taking care of new properties, balancing with the REIT that can do both new and old, together it makes a pretty strong capital funding program. I guess I'll leave it at that, unless there's questions.
What is the rate on the REIT?
The current rate, I'm not sure in terms of percentage.
They're both 1/4 of 1%.
Okay. It's what?
1/4 of 1%.
1/4 of 1%.
Both REIT 1 and REIT 2. So I believe we've got both, so it's 0.5%.
And then, of course, our third funding source are through grants. You know, and of course, our the Recreation and Conservation Office is one of our largest granting agencies that we work with. And so... of course, that's the premise of why we wanted to get this Park Advisory Board underway so that we could start working on the Clark County Parks Comprehensive Recreation Open Space Plan. And with that, that allows us to apply for grants. And so, of course, the original plan expired in May of this year, and so we have a large task ahead of us to try to get that comprehensive plan updated. And with that, you know, our original push was to try to get this completed by the end of this year, but because of all the delays and trying to get this new program off the ground, this new division of parks here in Clark County, and the startup, and then trying to get our Parks Advisory Board up and running, It's taken until essentially August for us to finally meet. And so we're going to push out our deadline, hopefully, to about June of this next year, July of next year, and which is fine because RCO basically will start accepting grants on the even years. And so what we want to do as soon as we get our comprehensive plan done and we have identified what properties we want to go after, then we will start actively seeking grants. And so with that, actually, would you like to go into your presentation?
Sure.
Okay. So Jeff Knight is here with Clark County Community Planning.
Jeff, are we working at all with the cities and as they were doing the comp plan update as one right before we divided? And I believe there was maybe some idea around working together. How are we doing that?
We started working with the city in the beginning. There was a survey completed and initial steps like that. Right when the divorce, as you mentioned, occurred. We've had communications and talks and things like that, but we're no longer collaboratively planning.
We stay in touch with each other quite a bit. We want to maintain that relationship. That is hugely a key to our success. The survey is inside this book right here, so you might want to take a look at the results of the survey. We do intend to utilize that. I think it's right up there on the desktop. Look at it.
Well,
it's on the startup screen. Way up.
Bottom right.
Bottom right.
One below that.
Down.
There you go. There it is. I didn't even need to bring my thumb drive.
Okay. Steve,
there we go. A little bit of a lag there.
Interesting to turn your back and click to the mouse to make it work in the opposite direction.
So we're starting the Clark County Comprehensive Parks and Open Space Plan, and I wanted to go through a couple of reasons why we're required to plan. One of those is growth management. There we go. Growth Management Act, the parks element in the overall Clark County Comprehensive Plan is a required element, and Clark County itself is going through the major update for the Comprehensive Growth Management Plan. This plan that we're working on is a standalone, but an element of it, more than an executive summary, but an element of it will be part of the overall Clark County plan. There's administrative guidance. I listed the Washington Administrative Code there. If any of you are having trouble sleeping, you can go read through that. And as Bill mentioned earlier, the Washington Recreation and Conservation Office requires a completed comprehensive plan, completed parks plan for grant eligibility. So that's another reason why we're funding, or why we're completing this plan now. Here is the timeline. We're going to have various chapters ready for your review over the course of the next several meetings, and we'll present those to you and request your suggestions, your ideas, anything that you might like to see that perhaps we've overlooked or we hadn't thought of.
Will we get those in advance of the meeting?
Yes, you will. More than likely through email, or we'll have paper copies available if you need them. The schedule, I wanted to mention first, we're going to have open houses just for the parks and open space plan, and I plan to schedule those for January of next year. And we'll have those available to the public and widely advertise them and have people come out and take a look at our draft. The other part of that is we're having, as I mentioned earlier, the overall growth management plan for the county, and that also involves multiple open houses, and I'll be at several of those open houses, all four of them, at the end of this month to present what we have now and just kind of an exercise to solicit input from the residents of those various areas. Find out what they would like, where they would like to see new parks, if there's a gap in our coverage for park systems, and we'll be able to solicit input there. Those are going to be held on August 19th and 20th
and the 27th and 28th. One of them, we're going to have one in Ridgefield, one in Battleground, one downtown in the Public Services Center, and one in Camas. And if you're interested and if you'd like to attend those and listen to what the people have to say for yourselves, I'd be happy to provide you with the dates and times and locations. More than welcome to come out and stand with me and listen to the listen to the folks that are out there. And those are all in the evening. They all start, I believe, at 6:30. So those are going to be available.
We'll
to
get that by email, right? This kind of
I can certainly provide those for you.
Times.
In the spring, after the draft is completed and we receive your recommendation for approval, hopefully, we'll complete the CEPA requirements and all the administrative requirements for the state and submit a draft to the RCO and the Department of Commerce for their 60-day approval. They have a 60-day lead time where you need to supply them with your draft and make sure that it satisfies all the requirements, and they have the opportunity to comment on it. After that, in the spring, and I can't give you an exact date because we're not through planning for the Planning Commission out that far yet, we'll go to a Planning Commission public hearing where the Planning Commission will issue a recommendation to the Board of Clark County Commissioners for approval of the plan. And then hopefully in the summer, June is what I'm thinking at the moment, we'll go to the Board of Clark County Commissioners with the recommendation from both yourselves and the Planning Commission and receive approval and turn it over and start applying for grants from the RCO early next year, or I'm sorry, early in 2016. The plan elements that we're going to have are inventory, and we're going through that now. We have a detailed inventory of all the parks and open space. And I keep forgetting this is here because it's behind me. I'm just looking at my paper. So we'll have an inventory of the parks and what other recreational facilities are available. The goals and policies, which we have currently some, and those will be submitted to you and see if those align with what you think the future ought to be.
This will also include condition of the park. You're going to do
the inventory?
Inventory.
Yeah.
You get some kind of condition.
Sure. Okay. And that'll probably be along the lines of Bill's ranking for the maintenance.
That's
the
great.
Mm-hmm.
That's
income.
Fine.
Yeah. And then a demands and needs analysis, which basically we have levels of service that we need to plan for and that are acceptable to the community. So we have parks within a certain walking distance and a certain number of acreage for each park type. Within a set distance or a certain number of people.
Will those be based on the goals and policies? So those will be developed first and then the demands needs analysis, or how we
these aren't in order. I just listed all the elements that
play.
And then the plan has to have a detailed public participation chapter section, and part of that is going to be your meetings. Part of that is going to be the open houses that I mentioned earlier that are coming up at the end of this month and the ones that I intend to schedule for January of next year. And then the last one, the big one that you'll appreciate, Jen, is the capital facilities plan. This is where we have the future projects spelled out after we do the demands and needs analysis and settle on the levels of service that are acceptable to us. We'll have to decide what parts are necessary, project what they're going to cost, how far in the future they're going to be built, and where the funding is coming from. And that's basically what a CFP is, a capital facilities plan. So we'll be putting that together as part of the plan element, and that will be submitted to you all for recommendation. And that, except for my last pretty picture, there we go.
Is it under the public input where you let us know if we have groups of people or folks that are saying, hey, I want to put my input in about my community park or this or that or what mm-hmm. should be, you'll let us know when all the timing is so we can just pass that on?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. And just for clarity, is mm-hmm. So the money that's able to purchase the land, mm-hmm. right, comes from
either
REIC or impact fees.
REIT or PIF, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No maintenance money.
Right. No maintenance money.
That's correct. That's the Greater and Metro bond that we passed. Takes care of it.
Take care of maintenance. Okay.
Yes. That's what.
And so within those, just for clarity for me, so based on there's 10 squares, right, or 10 different locations, mm-hmm. and you, is it basically looking at the amount of money that's in the kitty for each one of those squares and saying, okay, now we have enough to purchase this piece of property in this general location.
Right. Okay. That's correct. Yes, and of course we'll take a look at park impact fee dollars first, which you do have this in your booklet. It shows the sheet shown by district, how much is in there for both acquisition and development. So that's a separate fund. And then this year, we've actually combined acquisition and development. So effective, it was about March of 2014. Those two components are finally combined.
Mm-hmm. Was that problematic in the past?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, because you know you can't use acquisition funds for development and vice versa.
Okay.
And so all too often you will see in a district where you've got acquisition funds plenty there. You've already bought your property. Now you want to develop it. There's not enough money in development to support that.
Gotcha.
So we have to really look hard at REIT funds or grants to try to accomplish that, and that can be somewhat problematic. So, and of course, I was just noticing this year, the economy is improving. We're actually getting a lot of PIF funds coming in, and those are combined funds. The one thing that we have to be mindful of when it comes to PIF is that we haven't spent any PIF monies for quite a while, and so we're getting kind of close to concurrency issues, which means, you know, within a 10-year period, if we haven't spent those, we have to return those back to the
people where
they got them from, and we do not want to do that. The City of Vancouver has just recently done that with PIF District 4, and that is not a fun exercise. And so,
10 years or something?
It was 6, and now it's 10.
Now it's 10.
We're
going to
leave it there.
When you're talking about Clark County, can you help me understand? Are we going to be separating out those city, county, like District 7, for example?
The shared districts.
So 4, we all were involved in 4.
That's
in the county, so we had some problem with that then. So will we be dividing these and making how do we deal with that?
I wasn't going to actually propose that today, but the one thing that we had talked about doing now that we are completely separated is actually we've talked about with the city is dividing up the PIF districts, and the ones that are truly county with just a little bit of city in them, and the ones that are a majority of the city and with a little bit of county in them, we're going to actually divide those. PIF District 4 is an excellent example. That's going to be completely city. PIF District 1, 2, and I believe 3, mm-hmm. and are going to be city only. And then we're going to actually resnap the line. So this is what I'm going to propose, is that the line goes at the border of the city. So whenever the city annexes a portion, that line's going to readjust. So it's always in the county or always in the city. So
we've gone through the divorce,
yes.
But we still co-own property then. Is that what we're saying?
No.
Because if you haven't separated out the district, you haven't separated out the money within the district.
Well, I'll tell you the history here. The city...
Or explain this to me.
Yeah. Whatever... Let me get back to the base layer here. There we go. Good map. There we go. So pull that up. Come on. It takes a little bit.
Forces
a little bit delayed.
Do it one more time, Bill. There you go.
Okay. All right. So,
traditionally, so a good for instance is District 7 here. It's shared between county and city. Whatever monies were collected in this area are stayed in the county. Whatever monies were collected in this area of 7 stayed within the city. And so, with the Vancouver Clark Parks combined, all the monies that Clark County collected, they handed over to the city in holding for Clark County, but it's always been separated. So what they're trying to do right now is give those monies back to us. So all the monies that were collected over the past several years, that's going to come back to us so that money will be active. There's a sheet in there that shows how much money is actually in our county accounts, you know, through districts. five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, essentially. And so the one thing that we want to talk about, because some of these districts are truly, you know, split, and so we need to readjust these fifth district lines to match the area city that surrounds the city here. So that's one thing that we'd be proposing to you. Another thing that we might be proposing to you, it was a plan to bring this up today, is possibly consolidating a couple of these districts so that we don't have so many districts out here. So, you know, that's one thing that...
That's going to be a hard sell.
That might be a hard sell.
Our community will be very difficult.
But, yeah. So it might just be resnapping the line between the county and the city.
I even think that's going to be a very interesting conversation, because if I'm putting into a certain district in my areas, anticipating getting some development and some funds, and we've been building like crazy in our area, and all of a sudden we have a small annexation that takes over portion, and those funds go away or that component goes away, I'm in a different, I become shuffled in my, in what I've either real or perceived, where my project is on the list, if you will. So I think there's, I'm sure you all have been thinking about that a lot, that can be very challenging if you, especially if you annex every 5 years. But I mean, I know that hasn't happened, but that would be really an interesting conversation. I don't know how you could articulate that.
That's one thing we could possibly talk about is, you know, it depends on our relationship with the city, but if we, maybe the monies that were collected on the border now get annexed, should those monies maybe stay there? Because that's where they're collected. So
no,
I would think that would be the case. I think that would be the case. So
you're not taking money away from the people, from the
no,
where it's
we're
been
not.
Paid. You're,
right.
you're just splitting.
Well, you're getting into two different government structures. You might like the way the city operates their parks, but not the way the county operates their parks. So the way you all are going to build, the city may be selling. So it's like, now I'm back. You know, that'll be just interesting.
Now, along those lines of money, I know one of the reasons that we used the city and filtered the money that way was that they had the software package that
That's
tracked
right.
it all.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we on getting procuring software if we're taking back the responsibility of tracking it? Are we in a position to do that?
I don't think we have any special software that's coming our way for this.
I don't believe so.
I mean, we know how to track it right now. And once we get it back in, we've been on the county side, we have been tracking what monies that we've been collecting
so
over the years.
So we will continue to have visibility even if you don't get a new software package?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, because I never understood why we gave our money.
In fact, there's a complete spreadsheet that we're working on right now. It shows, you know, all the monies collected per year, all the way down through, what monies need to be expended. All that stuff is there. So I'll probably hand that out on our next Parks Advisory Board meeting so that you can get a real solid look at it.
Yeah.
This is just a quick down and dirty sheet that you're looking at for budget. Let me see if I can guide you to it so you can see it.
I was going
to
ask for
it. Yeah. PIP budget.
Just behind the PIP district map. It's
okay.
The next page.
Okay, so if you look at 5PIP, it's the very last page. So I'll show you how this works right now. So right now you're looking at all the monies that have been collected to date historically, and this is just the remaining amount is what are in those actual accounts.
So to date, meaning 2014.
As of June of this year, yes.
Okay.
So it says June 30th up on top.
Okay.
And so you can see PIP District 1, which we traditionally have never collected any funds in. Not until the end of January of this year did we collect actually $20,000, or actually $29,000, as well as in development we collected $6,000. So we've actually told the city that we want that because we have a use for it. But traditionally we have not actually collected any monies in PIP 1. That's always been traditionally city. 2 is city, 3 is city, of course. 4 has been shared with a small portion going to Clark County. That's where Pacific Park and Vanderfort Parks reside, as well as Harmony Sports Complex. But the PIF going forward, we decided to send that off to the city, make that their responsibility. They're 100% in charge of PIF District 4 going forward. Five, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we will continue to collect funds with, and then, of course, the possibility of realigning that districts on the south side between the county and the city. So as you can see, the first set of numbers between 3071 to 3080 is acquisition funding, And the next wave of numbers here, 3171 through 3180, is development funding that we've acquired. And then the last set of numbers, this is PIP district, or 3274 through 3280, is the acquisition and development combined that we've collected to date, starting in about, I'm going to say March of this year. February, March is when we passed that. Okay. So as you can see, these are the monies that we've collected within about the last 4 months. And so I was really impressed to see that the economy is doing well. So what we can do going forward is, of course, we can add either the acquisition funds and the new funds that we collected this year, the acquisition and development funds, for a grand total of, you know, however many thousands we need to acquire a park, or we can use development funds with a combination of the acquisition and development funds to develop a park. So we've got a little bit of flexibility now that we've made that combination together, or put them together.
But there's no money for maintenance or for refurbishing or any of that sort of thing.
Well, maintenance comes out of the Metropolitan Park District Fund, the GCPD, and so that's
that
there.
That doesn't cover the entire county.
Well,
no, the city doesn't have any way of covering their.
No.
They never passed their. Remember, we tried to pass it last year for them. And
but that park district is only inside the urban growth boundary,
right?
Yeah.
The entire county.
Well, that's true too. So it's.
And that's the thing about the park impact fees. It only covers the unincorporated urban area of Clark County. That is it. We can't use this outside of this this area.
Well, when I went on the commission for the joint group, I made it my. I thought it would be a joy, but it has not turned out that way. To visit as many parks as possible, and I encountered so many that were really in dire need of. Not that they weren't being taken. Not that the grass wasn't getting mowed. Not, you know, that sort of thing, but. Tree roots that were upgrading sidewalks, you know, just all kinds of those kind of refurbishing kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Where does money like that come from?
Well, maintenance, I guess. Yeah, that can actually come from. It has to come from maintenance, or it depends on where you're at. It can come from REIT.
What concerns me about it is in purchasing new parks and we're developing new parks, which is what we want to do. We still have to keep that number in mind. I think we have to be careful of how we do that. In other words, I guess it doesn't have to be, a park does not have to be mowed grass. It has to be mowed twice a week. There's a lot of ways that we can help with that idea when we get to the point where we're looking at actually doing the parks.
Absolutely. You must have been in one of the city parks, right?
mostly they were, actually. I feel sorry for them.
Even sidewalks.
Not a problem.
Yeah, have you been over to John Ball lately? They had the movie there last Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, you had to be thinking of that, Marcia.
Yeah.
The sidewalk is about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm bad.
There is a distinction. Right, but then you turn around and you look, and it is this gorgeous, huge tree there.
I know.
And you just want to say, maybe we could put a little bridge over it.
Or move the sidewalk.
Yeah, jog the sidewalk. I love that tree, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There's some of them need some loving. But John Ball just got that upgrade last year because they got the grant. So never mind.
Well, grant funds are sometimes, well, when it comes to maintenance, there's really not a lot of funding out there that supports it. So the GCPD, when that was passed, that was a godsend to us. I mean, that really changed the face of how Clark County Parks operates. It made a huge difference to us. Because that allowed us for the first time to actually, you know, to build the parks in the first place, these 35 parks, and also to maintain them.
I think it spoke really loudly of how important those people feel it is to have parks.
Right.
So we have a little easier job out with our neighbors.
Even if it only won by 26 votes.
Even if it only that was all it took.
So when it comes to the regional parks, of course we have the general fund maintenance budget that we rely on to help us with maintaining the parks. But when it comes to capital repairs like replacing roofs or replacing asphalt, we use the real estate excise tax fund. It's a capital repair fund. And we are hoping that we can continue to keep our $600,000 per biennium in there for that purpose. And you can actually go out to one of our big regional parks and see all the new infrastructure. That's what Jeremy does. He helps us with all of our capital repairs within our general fund parks, and that has been just hugely helpful.
I think Jeremy will be helpful then when it comes time to decide or to design a park that doesn't require some of the things. doesn't require so much.
Correct, yes. Well, the more infrastructure, the more maintenance.
Yes.
And so, and the waste design is critical. So we always want to be involved with the design of each park. So we're maximizing benefit plus ease and maintenance. Okay, so any more questions on PIP? And there again, on this next meeting, we'll provide you with the entire spreadsheet so you can see the whole history and coming forward from it.
So we can kind of project into the future about what's the potential for... So
yes, for like 15, 16, for instance, we can kind of see what's going on. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are we planning to meet monthly?
You know, Kelly, the code, there's a couple things I want to talk about with you. I was going to kind of push that towards the end, but we can't talk about that. Yes, monthly at least. And so it will be the second Friday of each month. That's what, kind of what we've got to the schedule for right now when it comes to that end. And once everything kind of settles down, if you will, say next year, year after, if we don't need to meet monthly, we can actually meet quarterly, which is not what the code says, but at least quarterly. But if we want to meet monthly, I'm good with that. If we, and going into this comprehensive parks plan, I thought, you know, we're really behind the eight ball here. We've got a lot of ground to catch up on. We wanted to actually schedule more meetings in between. But I think that between sending you information in between the meetings and then making the most of the meetings that we have, I think we can probably move along pretty goodly on a monthly basis. So does that make sense? So if by chance the board wants to meet more frequently, let us know, and we'll see if we can accommodate.
Now, on some of these things that are in here, I'm sure it's not just my old eyes.
Sure.
Is it possible we could get those in electronic form?
Yes.
So we can increase the size?
Absolutely. We can do that for you.
That would be great.
So what you're looking at there, Barbara, it's on future plans. It's a tab.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, good Lord, yes.
Yeah, I think it's probably about five-point font or something like that.
Just to brief you real quickly, on the future plans, the sheet that you're looking at is basically all the Metropolitan Park District parks that have been built to date. So there's been 25 parks built. It shows you how much it cost to build those parks when they were built. And so if you look down below this dark blue line that's on the sheet, I've got that on here. That shows what we're planning to build here in the future. We still have 10 more parks to complete. Right now, we've got Chinook Park and Dogwood Park under construction. So that's a good sign because we've had to put these two parks on hold for quite some time.
Yes.
Which one was your park, Barbara?
Chinook.
There's Chinook.
But you know, it's so sad. Nice. I tried to get the neighborhood, you know, going for doing a big blowout celebration because we waited almost 9 years for it.
I wrote a letter of support for that one. Are you going to put the trail in, north-south?
The trail we're working on is on the Minnehaha one.
Then I mean in the park, does it connect the neighborhood
for the students,
south?
Yes. That is definitely the big part.
That's fantastic.
If you turn the page, it kind of shows you where we're at right now. This is what we have left to complete. Sorry, folks, I should have put all these up there. I didn't know. We should have probably had those up online. But I'll show you. So right now, we've got Dogwood Park and Chinook Park under construction. Our intent for next year is to bundle Tower Crest Park and Otto Brown Park together. And then the following year would be Sorensen Park and Cozy Camp. That actually skips over. But Sorensen Park and Cozy Camp would be the next two parks to be built, and provided that the funding is there, and we're not going to make any promises, but we are, you know, the economy is improving, and we want to make sure that the money is there to build it before we actually start construction. And so right now, what we can count on is that Dogwood and Chinook are being built. They will be completed. Tower Crest and Otto Brown Park. Those two parks, the planning phase of those parks actually had started before we shelved them in 2010, I believe. And so, actually 2011. And so those plans were, for the most part, complete. So Tower Crest and Otto Brown. Those two are slated to be built next year if the budget does hold up and then we actually are able to build those. Okay. And then in the 2016 year would be Sorensen and Cozy Camp.
And will we be writing grants for those 16s?
You bet. Yeah, probably. Yes, grants.
So that's how we'll...
And we're looking at PIP funds right now as well. And in fact, we've put in some Well, we're actually looking at PIP funds right now to see what we're covered. Right now, we're able to cover two of the four parks, you know, just using PIP. But we absolutely want to start using looking at grants to support that
now,
as well.
Now, if we go through this planning process and we find that there's more interest after neighborhoods come down on us with our comprehensive planning, would we modify that if we found that there was different information than what we think here? Or would we stick with this?
Possibly. Uh-huh. Well, I think this is the tentative plan for right now, but I think anything can be modified.
I'm just thinking out.
Yes.
16 is, you know, a year and a half away, and if we're going through all these public meetings and we keep hearing that one park is more appropriate to develop right now than another, then we're not stuck to this at this point.
Well, the one thing I can tell you is that
I think we are for 15. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, for 15, those plans are kind of cast in stone right now. It's just a matter of making sure we have funding.
And
16, we're getting kind of into the, we still have to do a lot of development.
The state, when we go after grants from the state, they'll evaluate what they think our projects look like in terms of possibility for funding, and if we find that we've got a different opinion than they do, we got to revisit that too.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were thinking.
Yes.
Looking down the list here, is the Schaefer Park not on this list, Bill? Because
no, that is not.
Because of its flux of city, county, or
no? What you're seeing here is on this previous sheet. What you're looking at is 35 parks. That was what the 35 parks were originally.
Just the original ones.
The original
that were on the
ones,
original
yes.
List. Wasn't Schaefer on that original list?
No.
No?
No, it was not. All the parks that were on the original list are named right here.
On that little trifold.
Okay, yeah.
It was purchased after.
It was purchased after.
It was purchased after
the
that's
right.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, only because I know I'll get that question.
Right. And so, no, it's not on that original list.
And then, other question, because the other group that is so active is the Kruger Creek ones. And they're working with Commissioner Mador now on a new process of the neighbors actually funding through their own procured grants and donations. To
that's
build
project
out.
That Milana Allen's working on.
Correct.
Yeah, she gave me the documents on Wednesday.
Uh-huh. So that's not on the list because it's off the radar that way, or
that's why we need to work on this through the comprehensive parks plan. We need to identify what's important to us going forward, and so this is
okay. Plug that into the comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Just wondering why it wasn't on the list at
it's
all.
That's not on this. This is the original 35
because
parks.
It's only the original.
That is correct.
Cool. Okay, I and got the answer I need. Thanks.
Can I ask a question? And maybe this is for later. So you just tell me. How is it that a park location is determined? Is it based on the population of a general area, or is it just an available piece of property that came up
through the comp planning process? Yes, both. Okay. You know, there's a lot of different factors that go into identifying a park location.
Okay.
The ability to buy it in the first place.
Sure.
Willing seller.
Yeah, the motivated seller, and then the need. I mean, does it fit within the parameter, you know, of a radius around the park that we have connectivity, you know, within a half mile? Is it close to another neighborhood park? What are the nearest parks to it? You know, so we're trying to geographically locate these parks so that we have the best use and accessibility to these sites.
Excellent. Okay.
So there are actually properties that are being offered to us that we actually don't want because they really don't have that park value that we're looking for, you know, like street frontage or whatever.
Sure. Sure. Okay.
And so on the sheet, before I wrap up, you can see the last two parks, Pleasant Valley Park and Curtain Creek Park. Those are two of our last community parks to be built, and they are actually last to be scheduled into the construction list. So basically, what we're essentially trying to do right now, what we've always been trying to do since we passed the levy, is to uphold our promise to the taxpayers that we would build these 35 parks. So right now, that's kind of the priority. However, you know, we're going to this brand new comp plan, and this is where I start identifying all the other parks that are within the urban and corporate areas and regional sites everywhere else. Okay, so we've got a big.
Bill, there was a besides the parks, there was a certain amount of mileage of trail that was committed to. Are we looking at that as well? Or
yes, yes, and we've hit some milestones. And we've got a ways to go.
Right.
Same thing with sports fields. We had a certain amount of sports fields that we committed to.
Yeah.
So, same thing.
So, it isn't just neighborhood parks?
No, that's correct. Neighborhood community, sports fields, and trails. So, those are the four components.
You briefly mentioned it Before the Great Divorce, there was a plan, right, that the city of Vancouver had already put together.
It was a survey.
It was a survey.
Yes.
So was there a vision and value statement that the city had before? That basically, because I understand Clark County said, yeah, we'll just, whatever you think, we'll just go with
we
you.
We never said that.
No. Well,
I don't think so, no.
There was a comprehensive plan, yes, that the county and city had contributed to, and they used it.
That's
correct. They used it for grants for the city and for the county.
Right.
And now what's happening is we've split that. Right. The city's doing their own thing, and we're doing our own thing.
The survey is in your packet.
And the survey is actually the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, well, it's in your packet back here. We're going to incorporate the themes we have from it.
Okay, and that's what I was wondering, because I was going to say I would like to read that so I can get an idea of where it was and where the county.
Yeah, the survey was completed in November 2013, so a month and a half before.
Perfect.
That's the same one we have from before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I'll
promise
to get better on this.
Yeah, next week.
Okay.
Perfect.
I'll
try to have whatever we present available to our audience.
Look at that non-irrigated lawn. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much.
That has been our model.
Kids play in that,
Oh, absolutely. Well, with a lot of our neighborhood parks, we've always identified a section of irrigated lawn, and then the rest of it is non-irrigated. So that's been the model going forward all the way through this process.
There's a big tree there, and kids like to climb the tree. There's just so many things that can be done, and it doesn't have to be plastic, and it doesn't have to be.
Right.
Anyway,
what we will do on a site like this, we have the irrigated
lawn. That's a really big. Mm-hmm.
What we will do is when we're installing venue trees in the irrigated section, we will have to emit irrigation levels trees, so we don't have to go out there and use it by hand.
Okay. Any questions on the comprehensive parks plan moving forward, or Jeff, or anything before we move on?
Basically, you're going to put together a plan, and you're going to come to us at different intervals and ask us what our opinions are about where you are.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we will either say yay or nay, and you do what you do, and we do what we do. So
that's correct.
Okay.
Every month through February.
Who are we using for design consultant services in the county?
Right now, we're using our internal county staff.
So we do have a architect on staff now?
These were done already. For the next two parks, we actually have a landscape architect on staff that's going to be working with it. And you might know her, Jane Kleiner. She's actually stepped up and says, I've got a little bit of time so I can actually take this.
Okay.
After that, we're probably going to go outside with consulting services because we just do not have that resource internally.
So Jane will be doing that.
That's awesome.
Yes,
that's
She's fantastic as she does. Those two plans have already been started, and so she's going to pretty much try to do her best in wrapping them up. And I don't know if a lot of you might know Scott Bradley. He works for Clark County now. He's going to be a PM. Okay, if you turn past Dogwood, this is, I want to talk to you about Salina Community Park. On the Folletta Park, what we've been working on, and some of these projects have actually came to us prior to our divorce with the City of Vancouver. The Stewart acquisition is essentially at the entrance of Folletta Park, and it's a piece of property just due west of the entrance, and it's 0.59 acres, and just yesterday, our real property services group actually negotiated an offer with the Stewart family, and for $200,000 to acquire that 0.59 acre parcel. And the need there is that we need more parking out there. The sports component out there, as well as the community and neighborhood park component, we don't have enough parking on that site. And this would truly help, because we do have an ongoing problem throughout the neighborhood of people trying to park, you know, and especially with game overlap. And so not only that, you can see the house that's on the site. It's really not a good frontage look for a big community park that is so popular. And that's going to actually open up our view into the park and make the park that much safer for patrols. And so it's a win-win for us. There's no doubt about it.
We have a parking problem with a lot of parks.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially with the sports components involved, because we always have overlap.
Jensen has got to be the worst.
Luke Jensen?
My grandkids, they played t-ball down there this year. And every time I've been there before, it's been for some celebration, and the parking's been great, and I think this is wonderful. We need a second story of parking there.
Well, every park that we have that's got a sports field is typically overloaded. Hawkinson even gets overloaded.
Right.
All the way out to the street, out down to 72nd. You know, H.B. Fuller.
But that's good, though, isn't it?
Well, it's not good if we have emergency services issues.
No, I'm just saying it means it's being used.
Yes, it is. It is being, all of our parks
I was surprised by that.
Highly used right now.
I really thought that Luke Jensen had such a nice second parking area there, you know. I thought, oh, they really thought about this.
Absolutely. So I've talked to Melinda Allen about this already, and she is in total agreement that we need to go forward with this.
So are we just looking at the one parcel? Turn the page to the map on the next page, back side there.
Yes.
Where, is it that parcel right next to the driveway?
Yes, it's the parcel right next to the driveway.
Sorry.
To the west.
Okay.
Are there two homes on one parcel, or is that one home half the parcel that we're
seeing? Oh, I see. It's got to stay out here.
If you can see right here, here's the parcel we're looking at. This is still privately owned, but this is the piece that we want to acquire right here, 0.59 acres. As you can see, the size of it kind of matches the size of the parking lot that we currently have. That's going to help so substantially, especially with all the new homes that have been built here recently. Mm-hmm. That street is narrow and tight. And then people are parking along the north side, and the neighbors are honest about that.
So we need to do something here. And so this, to me, seems to be a pretty wise purchase for us, and it is available. And another thing I'd like to bring up is that we've had some opportunities for acquisitions this year, and they go almost as fast as they come to us. And people are snapping up properties, and we always want to be in first position for consideration, but that doesn't always happen. So
very difficult because of the steps we have to take.
Absolutely.
Acquire.
So with your permission, approval today, I'd like to actually move forward with a staff report to send this out to the commissioners to approve purchase of this property. And we'd be using PIF 7 acquisition dollars, which we have plenty of money
Erickson Farm, they're going to have more coming in. Did you want a motion on that?
You're asking for a motion.
Oh, yes.
For acquisition of that particular parcel.
That is
property.
Correct.
Is that the only one you're going to ask for today, or ask for several?
No, I'm actually going to ask for something else from you.
You want to do them separately, or you want to?
Let's do them separately. Okay. One's an acquisition.
I move. Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What's the damage in?
So is there any discussion about it? Does everybody pretty much understand what we're talking about here in terms of acquisition?
Where does the funds come from? REIT?
The park impact fee dollars. Yeah. District 7. If you look back.
Isn't she a 9? She's a 9.
Yes.
It's 9.
Oh, 9.
I'm wondering there was 2 million or there was 5 million. I couldn't tell from the bottom of that sheet.
I'm sorry, let's take a look.
That would be lovely to have.
Okay, I'm sorry, it's District 9. I was looking at the next page, which is
9.
Is that the 500,000
so
or
look up at line item or fund number 3079. Go over to the right. To the right column saying that it says remaining. Mm-hmm. It says $1,475,087.12. You combine and you go down to the bottom of the page. Look at 9 again. So it's the second to the last line.
That
Right. Because
this is our PIF and PIF acquisition and development combined that we collected this year. There's another $534,757 in there, so it puts us over right about $2 million.
Where are we at in our 10-year evaluation of those funds? Are there funds there that are needing to be spent?
Actually, because of our delay in buying any properties more recently, yes, we've got PIF District 10 is the closest one to concurrency. I think 9 and 7 are getting close as well. But PIF District 10, I believe February of 2016, we're going to be concurrency. And that's there's one on 10. There was had a little kind of a heartbreaker news just this week, and that was another acquisition. It was called the Osborne acquisition. And it was on Northwest 11th Avenue and north of 164th Avenue. It was attached to Whipple Creek Regional Park. Mm. And it was a primary or a major connector between Fairgrounds Park and Whipple Creek Park. It was a 9-acre acquisition, and there's an offer on it. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to try to put up a backup offer in case the first one falls through. But
ouch.
But that one, that was that, that's that. That possibility was, it's. I think Gene Akers was negotiating with the property owners about 2+ years ago when it first came to us. And we thought we were in a preferred position to be the first one to make the offer, but obviously I don't know what fell to the cracks, but the business was conducted without our knowledge.
So for clarity, this is District 9, right?
District 9, yes.
And this is just for purchasing. What's it going to cost?
$200,535.
No.
So that middle column here is for development where it says DEV.
Yeah.
So if you go down to 9, we have $218,410 in PIF for development funds.
Okay.
And so just so you know, the level 1 PIF cleanup that we perform after we buy a piece of property does come out of acquisition. It doesn't come out of development. So when we actually buy a piece of property, the first thing we're going to do is tear that house down and take all the other improvements out of there, fence it, sign it, and you know, make it so it's safe for public use. That all comes out of acquisition. And so after that point in time, once we get done with our PIF level 1 cleanup, that's when we start looking at development dollars. And so with this, you know, right now we're just looking at PIF as its sole source for purchasing properties. But keep in mind, we're also going forward, we're going to be looking at real estate excise tax or REIT funds as well as grant funds for this, so we're not going to be strapping PIF so much. In fact, we're supposed to be trying to share split expenses with PIF 50-50 with other revenue sources. So that's the intent going forward.
And I just have to say, I'm always envious of Mulata because Park District 9 always has so much money in their PIF. And they seem to have a lot down there, but it's because of the amount of development that's going on down there.
It'll be another district, another year.
Robert, when you see the new development coming through there that's being proposed right now, you will be really envious.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I just like to give them a lot of that time.
The old dairy.
Do we want to make a motion to vote on acquisition of this property? Making the motion.
Yeah, Barbara.
I placed a motion.
You placed
we
the motion.
The
do we
I
get
second
it?
It.
And
second
she seconded it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
That was an aye, not an aye.
Right, correct. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This would be a nice improvement to that park.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Necessary.
Just the visibility going into the park.
Yeah, we play down there a lot. Love that park.
When you said remove all the other improvements, you think time.
Well, you know, an important element of this right now, and why I'm pleased that we're back in existence, I guess is what I'd like to refer to, is the importance of acquiring these properties. It's too cumbersome. If we do, as the economy gets good again, we're going to see some things we got to have that we're going to lose if we aren't nimble and quick.
Absolutely.
If there's one thing that we should be now that we're separated is nimble and quick as opposed to a little bit slower on process.
Yes.
So I'd like to think that by you bringing it to us quickly, we can move faster on some of these.
Absolutely. And going forward, when we're looking at potential acquisitions, we'll definitely give you time to really analyze the potential.
But it is true, and I know that you've been involved in purchase of parks. It's very complicated to deal with this in a timely manner. So we've got to we've got to keep on top of
it. I, for one, would, you know, if you've got a hot item, call a special meeting.
We'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I.
Nimble and quick.
We all have telephone right, numbers we can use.
But wise.
Yeah. All right. You want to move over to Schaefer Wiseman?
No, I appreciate
that. Move over to, excuse me,
Schaefer Wiseman.
What we have?
It's called the Raymond G. Schaefer acquisition. I think it's, is this there?
Yeah. Oh, Schaefer Wiseman.
Is this?
So in contrast to an acquisition, we've been approached by the City of Vancouver to take, they wanted to acquire this property from us. And this is a property that we've acquired probably, let's say, 5 years ago now or so. And if you take a look at the sheet here, the assessed value back when the property was acquired was $2.854 million, and the appraised value was $2,310 million. The negotiated acquisition value 5 years ago was $2,854,000. And so, just so you know, that we've recently completed an appraisal in January of this year. It is essentially $1.85 million now. So we've lost $1 million in asset value of that property. The City of Vancouver, more recently their water department, needs to expand their water facility at Waterworks Park. And I'm not sure if you're familiar where that's at. It's on Fourth Plain. Mm-hmm. It's down below Clark College. And essentially they need to move the whole entire park component out of that site, so they can turn it into a utility site. That is encumbered by grant funds, and so what they have to do, I mean, eliminate a grant-funded park, you have to go out and find a park of equal or greater value to replace, relocate that park to. And the City of Vancouver, they've looked at the Schaefer property, and they think that is the best fit for them to relocate Waterworks Park. Right now it is in the county, it's in PIP District 7, and so where it's at specifically is over northwest of Vancouver Mall on 54th Avenue. And it's a 10-acre site. And they have approached us on several occasions, even this last week. And we've actually talked to the commissioners about the possibility of turning that park over to the City of Vancouver. What they would give us in exchange is basically our PIF money back that we've got into it, which is $750,000 that we can utilize for acquiring or potentially developing other properties. The Tower Crest Park is one park that we've slated for development. I believe it's next year or year after. We could potentially use that money for development of that park.
If where's Tower Crest?
It was. It's one of the MPD parks that were.
But where is it located? Is it in that?
Tower Crest is just due west off of Andreessen, so it's in the same vicinity.
The same district.
Yes. Yes.
Is it in PIF 7 or 6?
Tower Crest.
Mm-hmm. Looks like it's in the wrong.
It might
district.
Be in 6. Yes.
It's in the 6th PIF district.
And that's the question that we have for them.
She's in 7.
Yeah.
Yes, and the one thing that we're asking is if we can get those $750,000 unencumbered, so not assigned to a PIF district, open.
That was going to be my question, is if you receive money back, does that affect concurrency? Is that still considered a old receipt, basically?
No, those monies had been expended at that time.
Okay, so that was good enough.
Yeah, but you still can't.
But we do have...
take those dollars from one PIF district to another.
We're not really sure how they're going to fund us through that, but they said that they were going to give us, and we need to work through that detail still.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to take a look at the question about the valuation on that property that Sue brought up?
No, I have not. I have not had a chance yet. Not since Wednesday.
Because that's, you know, the $750K, and it's currently valued at $1.5 million, you said?
$1.8 million.
Yes.
Right. At the time when that property was purchased, it was split between city and county PIF.
So
you each put your money in your pot.
That is correct.
Okay, yes. So that's why though. Thank you.
Right. And so the benefits of allowing the city to have this property is that it's going to get developed that much quicker, and so it's going to service that public in that area that much sooner.
In 7 or 6?
In 7. Yes, yeah, so that's where Schaefer's at.
And so there is a lot of kids in that.
Oh my
gosh.
A lot, well,
that's someone that we're looking at.
There's a lot of homes, there's a lot of apartment complexes, you know, condominiums. I mean, that park is right now is getting used quite a bit as an undeveloped piece of property. And so this will allow us to receive some funds from the City of Vancouver. And also, I think it's going to keep our relationship pretty strong because this is something that, you know, mm-hmm. I think we should do as a partnership.
It's also very, very close to the Vancouver city limits.
Well, that's the next thing, is that if this park were to be annexed, I don't know if we'd get anything out of it, you know. They might just want to take that over and not give us anything. But, you know, to me, the most important benefit is serving the public as soon as possible for these parks. If we can develop it that much sooner, I would think that they're going to develop it within a year or 2 years if they have to relocate Waterworks Park.
The unfortunate thing is losing the park.
It might be in our 6-year, it might be in our 20-year plan before this park gets developed.
I'm going to try to forget that.
So,
one thing I would say about that is I love the idea. I would just want a commitment from them for a time period in which they're going to develop it.
Absolutely.
Which it sounds like you say they probably have to anyway, but I would love to see something that actually says, yes, indeed, this is the rule.
I think they'd be more than happy to provide us all that information.
Because they have the equipment already, right,
in the park.
But they're moving.
They're moving, yes. So. And they're going to make it a passive, they're going to have some passive recreational in there. This park is heavily treed, so they're going to leave a lot of that component in there, but they are actually going to have a developed area. So it's going to look like a nice neighborhood slash community park.
Yeah, this is the one that Kelly and I were working with Sue on the walking trail for.
Yes.
So it might be nice if we had some input on their design of it.
Yes,
we can
incorporate all that
because
from there.
We've done some pricing on those bark chips you talked about, and they're beyond their budget.
They're expensive.
As a neighborhood.
We can probably
bark chips.
That.
Yes.
Three times the amount for the stamp.
Okay, what are engineered bark chips? This is a new one.
So it's a certified engineered bark chip so that it is a certain size and a sharpness, and then it will fit together better over time so that it creates a better blanket for head injury potential. So it's in every city park, it's in every school, it's in every school district.
Yes, it meets ADA standards.
It meets ADA standards.
Once it packs down, you can wheelchair across it, no problem.
So for clarity, I keep saying this. Strictly looking at money, right? So both the county and the city purchased this 10-acre piece of property, right?
That's correct.
And the county put in $750,000.
I'll have to double check, but I think that's what I was told.
Just use a per number, yeah.
So if they did, then the other... the rest of it, whatever it was. So they're really, the city's taking the loss of the purchase of the property if they give us the money back. Is that correct?
The loss of the purchase of the property.
Right, because you bought it for 2.8 and it's appraised at 1.8 now?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so literally...
If we didn't give it to them, that would be a loss to them?
If they give us the $750,000... then they will be accruing that loss of $1 million.
But they're really...
Gotcha.
So you see
of
what
the
I'm
original
saying?
Purchase
of the
price.
Original purchase
yes.
price.
Right.
So we're literally not losing anything.
That's right. Okay.
But we didn't gain anything on that.
But,
either.
Well...
But then we're not in the business of selling property, so
no,
loss gain is nothing.
No.
Well,
but
the neighbors are still going to hand the park, and that's the
point.
Key
is protecting the county's assets, right?
So
and you don't want to lose money as I count it, you know.
Right.
So that's my concern.
Well, you know, that's the one thing
to be good
I
steward.
Probably could have asked them. You know, had the property been worth $4 million, we would have said, well, hey, what else can you give us in exchange for those?
One of the things that I can see in this that kind of clouds it up a little bit. What we're doing is we're taking a community park and putting it into a neighborhood park. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of park.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It is.
That's not our problem. That's their problem. But I would want that to be understood in the bigger scheme of things.
And I wonder what happens if we annex in the next couple of years. Do you write something?
That would be a Schaefer would be a neighborhood park, right?
I'm not clear on that. I think it might be a community park.
If it's a community park, then there's no way.
Well, it's only 10 acres and 5 acres is encumbered for the next... Yeah, that's too small.
It's
every 20 years.
Well,
yeah, because she's got the life tenancy on that one corner.
I think it's already been.
That's only like 2 acres, I think. Two and a half acres.
It says here in your book, the western 5 acre parcel. She lives. I know that they put the fence up there.
No, is it just an acre? It's 1 acre, actually. That's one acre.
Oh, well, then this might be a typo in your document.
It could be.
It says 2.5 acres.
Yeah. It's 2.5. It's actually 1 acre. That's fenced up.
And so it's changing from a community park into a neighborhood park.
I know, I have no judgment when we were out there walking.
Well, let me double check. I'm not sure if it's changing from community to neighborhood per se. We're actually talking about that specific detail with the city, but I'll find out.
Yeah, remaining 75 acres.
And what is the park that you want to put the money into out of...
Well, Tower Crest is actually slated to be developed in the front of the 35 MPD parks.
There it is.
If we needed the money for it, I thought we could try to utilize that money. If it's unencumbered, which means it has no restriction as to where it can be spent. If it can be spent, in the near district, if it was originally acquisition money, it's going to be used for development. It depends on how the city delivers it to us. And we've been waiting for an answer back from them as to if it's going to be encumbered or not. So that's the question.
Yeah, I would think the state would have some concern to the city about using the money that they are requiring be used, they gave out years ago for a community park that would then go back to a neighborhood park.
Right. And there's nothing saying that we cannot use those funds in District 7 somewhere else.
It wouldn't matter if the district...
Because, there again, in District 7, we've got, what's it called now? We used to call it Walnut Grove. I think it's East Minnehaha. That's a park that is slated for development.
Now,
that isn't so.
Given that this still resides within, our district, if they move forward with this trade or whatever you want to call it...
Mm-hmm. Transfer?
Any of the development costs incurred isn't going to come out of our pocket, are they?
It comes out of the city's pocket.
It will come out of the city's, even though it's not within, they haven't moved the boundary yet.
Correct.
Just making sure.
Yeah, that's
because,
a good point.
Because the boundary currently does include that in the county area.
And they may not be using PIF dollars to develop that park. They might be using other funding sources, but that's not going to be our nickel.
Well, I just want to make sure they weren't going to reach into our pocket that now that you said okay,
I don't think
it resides in your PIF district.
No, we're not
going
to allow them
money.
To use our dollars to develop that site.
So you want a motion to approve this?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
So moved.
Second.
Can you use any of our funds for sidewalk development infrastructure if it doesn't connect to the park? So, for example...
Hey, Heath, would that be part of TIF, by chance?
Yeah, I think typically we haven't used the park's money, either PIP or REIT, to pay for anything beyond what the park itself would be required to build. In some cases, we've actually used road fund to make a connection in a location, I think... I think Vandervoort over on the east side, we added a crosswalk to allow, because the park was across from a neighborhood on a busy road. But typically we don't do anything more than what the park requires.
Okay. All right. So I was just going to show you that the two parcels up there is the Schaefer Weisman, and what's fenced is about from here on over to about there. Down, I believe. The aerial's not able to show. There's a glitch with the Internet Explorer working Chrome. I don't know how the keyboard did this. I could insert the maps online. So, anyways, I was just going to show them what the life estate was. It's clear on here, but
you she may not want to stay there. The park gets going.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy.
And so it's. I'm complete transparency and clarity.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is that there's a 10-acre parcel of land that the city wants.
Correct.
And they're going to give us our money back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So we very much walk away.
That's it, yes.
And we lose the park.
we lose a park.
Well, they're not picking up the park. I already talked to them. I told her they're not going to pick it up and move it somewhere else. No, the neighbors are still going to have access to it.
And it's
still going to be a park.
Definitely needed area, so from that standpoint.
It's right now, it's in Clark County. You know, it's pretty, the annexation boundary is pretty close to it. It's about two blocks away. But so we're actually, if that park does get built, we are serving the neighbors of Clark County as well as the city. And to me, you know, the most important thing is servicing the people that are around that park. And for the most part, you know, I think you've heard this before, people don't care if they're in the city or the county. They just care that they have a park.
Right.
That's so right. They usually don't know if they are. So is there a way on this that we can get that caveat on?
I'll get all those
so that they know to reach out. Because I know those neighbors there, there's a large number of them that are willing to... You know, they'll put their sweat in and stuff. They just couldn't buy the expensive chips.
Absolutely.
And they want that walking trail soon.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Julie Hannon, she's the director of Vancouver
Parks.
And she is very motivated to try to get her hands on this property. So I will definitely ask her for the information that we need as far as when it's going to be developed, the funding that they're going to use. Is it going to be a neighborhood park or community park going forward? All those details, I'll get that to you. We'll send it to you prior to the next meeting so you know. All right.
So it might be more appropriate for us to vote on this the next round rather than today?
It might be, because what I was hoping for is that we at least get a...
forward?
He can move forward with,
The one thing that we want to do is I'd like to offer up a staff report to get this moving in that direction, so it has to go through the commissioners. So that's going to be 2 to 3 weeks.
I'd feel better if we did have that staff report in front of us. In draft form.
Okay, all right.
And that you can answer that question about neighborhood community.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, we will do that then. Thank you. And I know we're getting pretty late here. We're about 10 minutes out from finishing up. Got one other thing to propose to you, and this is relatively new. Jeremy, can you pull up that, I think it's on the right-hand side of it. It's this. Frisbee golf, or disc golf, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're no longer frisbees.
Yeah, they are no longer frisbees.
I've seen that as a new sport.
I got
the golf.
Football?
No. Yeah, it's a soccer ball.
Julie Hannon corrected me when I said frisbee golf.
Yeah. We were in the sports store the other day, and there's a whole room full of different kinds of discs.
Disc, yes.
Longer and sharp range. And the
yes.
Well, they're adding a number of these out at that Abrams Park from that grant from the Parks Foundation. And I thought, I kept looking, where is our request for grant funds for one, Can't get what you don't ask for.
Well, Tim Freeburn, he's an AmeriCorps member that's assigned to us this year through the volunteer program under Karen Llewellyn. And he's an avid disc golfer.
Name?
Tim Freeburn.
Freeburn.
Yes. And he's going to be with us until, is it November? December of this year. And the one thing, the pet project that he would really like to accomplish this year is to try to get a disc golf course in one of our sites. And in this case, the best course that we've actually been kind of looking at, we've been approached by several people over the last few years about it's huge. You know, it's just like going to a skate park or BMX course. They want this in our parks. And so with that, I didn't bring the entire PowerPoint with me on this one because I'd like to have Tim Freeburn come to our next meeting and present this to you.
Mm-hmm.
What he's proposing is to put a 9-hole disc course out at Frenchman's Bar in the undeveloped area that we rough mow currently right now. And if you look at the back of the first page here, you can kind of see the course that he's laid out. And so you can see our park entrance coming into Frenchman's Bar. So it's the field off to the right-hand side, or off to the north, if you will. And so it costs about $1,000 a hole, so about $9,000. And if you go back to our PIF funds that we've got available, PIF District 1, which we haven't seen any monies come through in many years until January of this year, because there's one little slice that we actually collected monies in. It's about $7,000 for development in that PIF district. And we want to utilize that. And so that would go quite a ways towards putting this frisbee golf course in. And all it amounts to is putting the baskets in at the locations and then rough mowing out, essentially, the fairways.
Wasn't there one installed at...
WSU has one.
WSU, how about down at the park there?
That's Leverage Park, yes.
They do we know one. How that's worked out?
Leverage Park gets used all the time. It is. It's always got disc golf sure. on it. And I don't know, I haven't been up to WSU, I haven't heard, you know, but I know that there is a true shortage. And more recently, at Paradise Point State Park, I believe they've got up to 18 or 9 or 18 out there. We had a group approach us. I don't know their name specifically, maybe Karen does. They've kind of professionally set up these disc courses. And they've actually laid out an 18-hole course on here. They're talking about a tournament course that would bring in a lot of people. I didn't really want to go there because it's going to require a lot of permitting because we're over on the other side of the dike on the riverside. But this one, I don't believe is going to require any permits whatsoever. It's just a matter of rough mowing some fairways in a big field and installing this. So,
whereabouts is this?
Like Frenchman's Bar. Yeah. It is down at the end of Lower River Road. So if you take Fourth Plain all the way due just west, all the way out to the as far as it will go.
Flushing Channel's just down.
Can you look on your map?
Yeah, so you know where Vancouver Lake is located?
Yep.
Okay, so Frenchman's Bar is on the river.
Okay.
Columbia River. Essentially straight from Vancouver Lake. So okay. Yeah.
So there's really nothing out there.
No, it's actually it's like the right park. Here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's two big regional
under, parks. It's under the third tab, last yeah.
It's one of our regional parks, so
yeah, it's right here.
And it's free. You don't have to pay
anymore
going in.
Well, at this point, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts
seems
on
it. Seems to me, Jane was involved in development of this. Has she had put any thought into this, Jane?
Kessler Kleiner? Is developing what a disc?
It seemed like she did work when she was working for the
city. I don't remember her ever touching this. She may have been. Oh, the one site I think we're looking at was Pleasant Valley Park, and I think there was some talk about when we developed that park, there might be a frisbee component or disc component in there. But as far as Frenchman's, I have not heard anything.
No, I didn't mean this, but building a program.
Okay.
Actually, making one of these things happen. I think she actually was involved in having the one at. Beverage
Creek. Oh, I'll have to ask her. Okay.
So I'd be interested to hear what she.
Yeah, absolutely.
The idea. So, and again, this is the just the baskets, no tee pads, no additional control.
Yeah, it's rudimentary to begin with. Yes,
because it's definitely something that could develop considerably farther than it is.
We start putting tee pads and all that stuff in, and
so you want it to. Just putting in the baskets is no big deal. If you start putting in more stuff without having a bigger plan, then you could cause yourself headaches.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any thought for safety concern out there since it's really not a flat surface? Not really. Just
the only thing we talked about doing is bringing a roller out and rolling the fairway so that it smooths them out, knocks the whoopie-doos out, and like Schaefer, you know, where we've got the whoopie-doos in there that would spin the vehicle on. But no, it's a field which is actually fairly smooth already.
Do we have any need to comply with ADA with this so that it's fully compliant?
I don't know. I asked that question, and I know most of it is fairly flat. I don't know if the entire thing is accessible, but at least a few of the holes are. So I don't know if the entire course has to be accessible. That is a good question.
I mean, it sounds like a lovely idea. I mean, what a nice.
And we need to strive towards equal access.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's for the entire course or if it's just.
Do like a mini three hole or something.
Right.
And then there's always the opportunity, like they've done out at Abrams, if there isn't quite enough dollars to do it, is that they phase theirs. I think they put three holes in and then they've expanded, well, you got grant dollars to do the first three holes,
mm-hmm.
and then ask for grant dollars to do the next three holes. And they're just doing it a bit at a time that way. So if we can't do it all, it would be well worth doing at least a beginning.
And, you know, the reason we're entertaining this is because we do have PIF $1 for the first time and the last time. And I don't want to give it up to the city necessarily when we can use it.
Why don't we schedule them to make the presentation on this next
time
and ask
them
to solicit public support on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, I don't know how many people are using these other courses. If I'd known about it, I probably would have checked into it.
Sure.
But I wouldn't want to be building one if nobody's using the others.
And the idea behind this is to try to use volunteer efforts to maintain and keep the site up.
Yeah.
So that's our hope with this. That's the
solid piece. So he can, in his presentation, he can justify it as well as be enthusiastic about it.
I think you'll be surprised at how many people would love have a piece of
I just haven't. I mean, this is cold to me today, and I haven't been down to Leverage Park to see how that one's doing. It may be
it's
just
always
overwhelmed.
Busy.
I just haven't.
So with Tim Freeburn, I don't think you'll have any problem finding enthusiasm from him.
It'd be better if we heard it from them.
You bet.
At this table.
So. Sort of like our take on the pickleball courts, right?
Yeah.
What the heck is a pickleball court? Yeah. You know. And if you go down there now, they got them finished, and it's just crazy busy.
Well, I apologize. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but we are out of time, and I would like to hold our meeting.
Can you give us kind of a tickler of what you want to talk about?
It's just information, background information. I wanted to talk about the ActiveNet, our active reservation program that we've got right now.
Yeah,
and so that is underway, obviously. We've got that thing going in March. We had our opening where everybody shows up at midnight and piles in and tries to make the reservation for the year, as of. And so with the ActiveNet, what we're trying to do, this is Eric Christensen, that's his field of expertise, but to make the reservation process be available, where you can make a reservation throughout the course of the year for 12 months in advance. Through that, but the period of which we make our reservations is between. Was it Eric? Between
May and September.
So that time frame still sticks, but throughout the course of the year, you can actually make your reservation for the following year up to 365 days in advance. And we're still striving towards that goal. We're almost there. And what's our goal, Eric, is to have that available by about
September, October.
September, October this year. So that's going to get allow folks to actually make the reservations online. And they don't have to actually go to a counter to make the reservation, so it should be a lot easier for folks. So, and then maybe we can talk on the next meeting. Karen can talk about our volunteer program, and we can go from there.
Where can we direct people who knew we were on Parks and Rec before? There's been kind of a lag in getting the groups together, and people are still coming to us with questions around like. Hey, how do I get access to this field that's not yet a developed park? And you call the number on the front, and it's the old number that goes to the city or something. I mean, where do we direct folks like that right now that are really... I mean, is there a central number they can call?
Yeah, there's
what do
a phone. The phone number. Our phone number has changed. It's brand new. You can go into the county website and find our parks page.
Okay.
But our new phone number is 397-2285. I've got a whole stack of business cards here as well.
What is it? Say that again.
397-2285. That puts you right into our Parks Division phone system.
Great.
And then from there, 2285. And I have to apologize. We've got thousands of signs in our parks. We have not gotten out to all of them. We're actually trying to put tags on the new phone numbers.
But we
all
can let you know.
The developed sites we're pretty much taken care of, but there's a lot of other properties that we have not yet. And so apologies for that.
It seems like a simple question to people have, like, I want to gate access from this side of the vacant property. How do I do that? You know, so I don't even know if there's an avenue for doing things like that. So.
Yes, there is.
So we pull up our website. And it does have all the pertinent information for parks, phone numbers, our facilities, and whatnot. So you can direct them there, and there's a lot of useful information, as well as what Bill was talking about, ActiveNet and park shelter reservations. There's a link to go to there as well.
So, Bill, have we really increased our maintenance requirements since the fees and things have been removed from the parks?
Have we increased our maintenance requirements? Yes and no. Our parks
have
always
had any impact really at all?
There's impacts. There's definitely impacts. I mean, we're getting the demographics have changed a little bit, obviously, because anybody can just go in. And we see an increase of litter. I don't. we do have some additional vandalism, not a lot. And my message has always been, we get vandalism every year in different parks at different times. And so it's hard to pinpoint it down to the parks that used to have fees but no longer do. But yes, we do have more usership in the parks because of the fees, and which results in more garbage. We do have increased illegal activity in our parks, particularly at Frenchman's Bar. That one really woke up this last 2 years, last year and this year. It has become the drinking hangout for people, for young people to go down and do all kinds of different things down there. And so we've been diligently trying to get the city of Vancouver to go down there and patrol more often, as well as have our marine patrol patrol it. And we've actually gotten the Department of Wildlife to come out and help us a little bit as well. But that's the nature of parks. People go out and they utilize our parks. Sometimes they misuse our parks. Sometimes they use them for the wrong reason. But because when the fees were dropped, yes, usership has gone up dramatically. The demographic has changed slightly, but I don't see a huge increase in vandalism. There is some, but not a lot. Does everybody get the business card?
One thing I would like to just have get on the table right now is I would hope we would want to have a agenda planning meeting the week Friday before, or two Fridays before, depending on what you choose, where the co-chairs sit down with you to make sure we've got an agenda covering all the bases. And is that, would that be all right with you if the agenda came out the week of the meeting, or do you want it further? I guess that's where I'm trying to decide.
Mr. Chair, if I could speak up very quickly. We've kind of made a commitment to the newspapers to get it out a full week ahead of time. So
we need 2 weeks ahead.
2 weeks ahead of time.
2 weeks ahead of time,
so
yes.
So we distribute it a week ahead of time.
That was my question for him.
So Kelly, in answering your question, if you want to meet up with me a couple weeks ahead of time.
That will be the first Friday of, it'll be the last Friday of each month that the co-chairs would meet with you.
Yes, that would be fine. I'd be more than happy to do that.
And I would prefer to have it at the end of the day as opposed to having to leave work in the middle of the day.
Sure, you bet. Yeah, so and so, Jeff, when do we have to have that in by?
If you were meeting two Fridays before, 2 weeks ahead,
is that
plenty
ample?
Of time.
That gives,
get it to the reflector, no
that gives you enough chance.
Absolutely.
Take what we put together, get it in his hands, and off. Okay. And then you all would receive the agenda at the same time it went out to the public. Yes. I think that makes sense.
Thank you. Yes, let's do that. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Is that all right with you, Barbara?
I think I came in on the end. You want to do the pre-planning for the meeting?
What they call
the
agenda planning meeting. So we put the agenda together for the meeting, and it'll be 2 weeks before this meeting.
I think that's a good idea.
Are we ready to adjourn?
Shall we adjourn the meeting? I guess I'm supposed to be running the driver's seat. <meeting. laughs> I'm seeing you in the driver's seat right now. Okay, let's adjourn the meeting.
All right, thank you so much.
And the time noted is...
Appreciate your time. And I'm really happy to have you here with us. Let's see you in a month. We'll be in touch in the meantime.
Hey, good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.